Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you this morning. I'm glad for the guests who are here. Welcome. Good to see you this morning. Thanks for coming to worship with us today. Will you all pray with me as we go to God's Word this morning? Heavenly Father, we have just been singing your praises. And oh, how sweet it is to do so, God. It fills us with joy seeing what Jesus, your Son, has done for us. And we just thank you for it, God. Lord Jesus, we lift up this time now in your word, your precious truth, and we ask and pray that you would help us to find joy, our joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you move in our hearts, Lord God? That's what we pray for this morning. I know that this is just going to be scratching the surface this morning, Lord God, but as we look at your word, I just pray that we would all have a taste of the joy that we have in you, and God, that that would spur us on to greater joy. We ask and we pray it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Well, we are continuing our series in Luke. Let me ask a question right at the front end this morning. How many of you here want to be miserable for the rest of your life? Raise your hand. No takers on that one. Okay, that's good. Actually, that's a good thing. Okay, let's try a different question. How many of you here would like to have joy now and forever? Raise your hand. Right, exactly. Okay, we all want that, right? Amen? All right, well, this morning we're going to see how to find joy. So if you want joy, listen carefully this morning. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 45. Luke chapter 1, 39 to 45. God has just told Mary through the angel Gabriel that she is going to have a son, and this son's name is going to be Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sins. That's Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. He's going to be the Son of God, and he's going to reign as king on the throne of David forever. His kingdom will have no end. And when Mary heard this, she asked, well, how is this going to be? Because I'm a virgin. I don't understand. And so the angel Gabriel explained to her that she's going to conceive through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he told her that her relative Elizabeth is already 6 months pregnant, even in her old age. He shared that with her as a sign to encourage her faith that nothing is impossible with God. And hearing that, Mary responds with faith. In verse 38, she says, behold, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. That's where we pick it up then now in verse 39. Look there with me. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Today, we want to try to answer the question, how do we find joy in the Lord Jesus? And this text is going to show us that joy comes whenever someone recognizes that Jesus is the Christ because he is Savior and Lord. Joy is the thread that runs through this whole text in three people. We see it in John, Elizabeth, and Mary. We're going to look at that, and then we're going to spend time at the end talking about finding joy. How do we do that? So before we jump into John's joy, let's look at just the setting, the background for a minute in verses 39 and 40. Look again. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. So from the last chapter, we know that Mary's up here in Nazareth on the north side, and the hill country of Judah is way down here. This is a topographical map, so you can kind of get an idea of the landscape. Nazareth is up here, and the hill country of Judah is way down here. So The town isn't named, but tradition says Ein Kerem. We don't know for sure. What we do know is that the journey was about 75 or 100 miles, and most likely Mary would have come down, crossed the Jordan River, gone through the Jordan River Valley, crossed the Jordan again, and come up into the hill country from there. This is a picture of the hill country, of a couple of pictures from the hill country, just to give you an idea of some of the terrain that she would have been traveling. These are pictures of the Jordan River, and this is the Jordan River Valley here. The point is that this was not an easy trip. This wasn't just a social call. She wasn't just traveling down there, you know, taking this 3 or 4 day journey to say hello. She was going with haste, so soon after the angel visited her, because she was excited to see the sign that the angel had told her about, that Elizabeth was pregnant. Why? As an encouragement to her faith. Not that she didn't believe God, but to strengthen her faith. That God is in this. To strengthen her faith in God's providence. To comfort her that God is with me. He's going to see me through all of this. It's probably not because she was trying to escape the shame or ridicule of being pregnant out of wedlock, because she's not showing at this point, and she comes back after 3 months visit just about the time that she's starting to show. So this isn't about trying to escape that. There's no escaping that. This is about her excitement to see this sign that God said she would see. So she took off, and she goes into the house, and she greets Elizabeth. And little baby John leaps for joy. We see this twice. Look at verse 41. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And verse 44 says, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And this is awesome. John is the first person, an unborn baby is the first person to recognize that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Christ. And he finds joy. I mean, his job was to announce the coming of the Christ, and he starts right away. He's not wasting any time. He's like, he's here. He's here. He's come. Right? So he jumps for joy in the womb because of Jesus. That's what Christ does. The coming of Christ brings joy in him and in his salvation. It's such a beautiful picture of what happens when a person puts their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. The joy that they find in him. You know, we live in a celebrity culture, and you see people fawning over celebrities and sports stars all the time, right? You see it, the celebrity shows up, and they're like, oh my goodness, we're in the presence of greatness. This is amazing. Can you take your picture with me? That's awesome. Can you sign my sock? I am never going to wash these socks again. This is the best day ever. You know what I'm talking about. You know Christians aren't immune to this either. Here's the deal. Jesus is the only person who is worthy of that kind of worship. If he were here, we would truly be in the presence of greatness. In him is holiness, righteousness, power, authority as our Lord. In him is love and mercy and grace and forgiveness as our Savior. He's Lord and Savior. And those who see that by faith rejoice in him. We rejoice in his salvation. We rejoice in forgiveness and eternal life. That's what the coming of Jesus brings to those who come to faith in him. Now, I want to make a quick excursus for just a minute and talk about unborn life. By 5 months, a baby in the womb has the ability to hear a whole range of different sounds. Now, we know from what Gabriel said to Elizabeth that John is 6 months gestation, right? So for over a month, he's been hearing noises and responding to them long before Mary gets there. Moreover, John is capable both of pain and of joy. This baby leaps for joy. This is a human emotion. What this tells us is that this is a person in the womb. Now, Jesus is most likely less than 2 weeks gestation at this point, but he's still a person. The unborn are human persons, and therefore they have value and worth. They have rights that are worthy of equal protection under the law. You know, one of the most interesting things that has come out of this shooting down in Texas is the reporting of the body count by the news media. Most of the organizations, not all of them, but most of them reported the body count at 26. But what's interesting about that is that there was a woman who was pregnant that was involved with this. I love the inconsistency. I praise God for the inconsistency of the worldview of the media, because whether they know it or not, they're unwillingly or unwittingly giving testimony to the truth. They're testifying to the truth of what we all know intuitively, that the baby is a person in the womb, worthy of life, a person who has rights. And so we need to do everything we can to stand against abortion at every stage of development. Okay, excursus over. Elizabeth responded with joy as well. John leaped, but Elizabeth shouted. Look at verses 42 to 44. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." Luke piles up three words here so that we don't miss this. It is literally, she cried out loudly with a great loud cry. I mean, like, he wants us to get this. Here, I saw one rendition of this on YouTube this week, and the person who was playing Elizabeth, it looked like she was about to fall asleep. It was like, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the..." You get the point. I'm like, obviously the producer did not read the text. He didn't read it, right? It's right here. The word for loud cry can refer either to an inspired word or a joyful praise. And here it means both. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit so that we know that what she says is from God. She is giving a second witness or testimony to what John has already witnessed about Jesus Christ. And so what John does with his joyful leaping, Elizabeth is doing with her joyful words. What she says about Jesus is the most important. Why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Elizabeth recognizes that Mary's baby is her Lord because, verse 44, John leaped for joy in her womb. She says it's his leaping for joy that tipped her off. And we know that Zechariah told Elizabeth about what Gabriel, the angel, said to her about who John was going to be and what he was going to do. Because later on, when he's born, Elizabeth knows that his name is supposed to be John. That's verse 60. So they've had 6 months to talk about this precious child and what his mission is going to be. Well, obviously, Elizabeth did the talking, and Zechariah was probably writing things down. Because he's not talking at this point. So they have 6 months to talk about the mission of John. She knows that his calling is to proclaim the Messiah. What she doesn't know is who the Messiah is going to be. And now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, she recognizes that his leaping for joy, it's Mary's baby. Mary's baby is the Messiah. And she says, "My Lord has come to me." She's confessing her faith in Jesus as Lord, and she shouts for joy. This is how we should respond to Jesus, trusting him as our Savior and rejoicing in him as our Lord. Have you submitted to Christ as Lord? Are you rejoicing in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or has it all just become stale for you? You know, we can't just decide to be glad about what we think is boring or uninteresting or tiresome. To find joy in Jesus, we have to see Jesus Christ for who he is and what he's done for us. You know, I was asking myself this week, do I see Jesus? I mean, truly see Jesus? John did. Elizabeth did. How? I mean, Jesus is in the womb, right? They didn't see him yet with their physical eyes. They saw him with the eyes of faith. That's far more important. And there were all kinds of people in Jesus' day who saw him with their physical eyes, but they didn't really see him. Seeing, they did not see, Jesus says, Matthew 13:13. It's a spiritual seeing. That's how John and Elizabeth are seeing Jesus in this passage. By faith, they see his majesty as Savior and Lord. The question is, do you see Jesus? So John leaped for joy, Elizabeth shouted for joy, and Mary will sing for joy, as we'll see next week. But there's another reason that Mary has joy in our text, and that's because she's blessed. Hashtag blessed. Sorry. It's a bit of a pet peeve. She's blessed in the true sense. Blessed describes the joyful situation of a person who God shows favor. It can be material or spiritual provision for them. And that favor from God, that grace of God in their life, results in joy. In the ultimate sense, we're blessed because we have a share in God's salvation, in his kingdom. Mary is blessed to be the mother of Jesus. She's blessed for her faith, both of which bring her joy. And I want to focus in for just a few minutes on her faith because that's a blessing that we can share. Look at verse 45. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Her faith is evident in her response to Gabriel. We read it a moment ago. She said, "Behold, I'm a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." So her faith is demonstrated in humble submission. That's her attitude, which leads to willing obedience. That's her action. That's faith of a Christian. That's the essence of discipleship. Humble submission leading to willing obedience, which is all the more amazing. Her faith is amazing when you consider the cost to her personally. She had to be willing to give up her relationship with the man that she was supposed to marry, because most likely, she didn't know how it was going to turn out, but most likely, Joseph would divorce her. She had to be willing to give up her reputation in the community, for it was most likely going to be ruined. She had to be willing to face ridicule and rejection from her family, from her friends, from her neighbors, because there was always, and there would always be people who would never believe her story. They would always say that she was immoral and that her child was illegitimate. But that's not her concern. None of that is her concern. She doesn't ask for an easier assignment. She can't or doesn't wait to find out what the cost of obeying God is going to be. All she needed to know is that this is what God wanted her to do. She trusted God and she obeyed without qualifications or hesitations. That's discipleship. Even though what Gabriel said didn't make sense to her, she said, I don't get how this is going to work, she asked, right? But I trust you. Lord, whatever you say, I'll do it. How often is our own logic the measure of our willingness to obey God rather than taking his word by faith? How often do I refuse to obey unless it makes sense to me? We put our reason above God's word when we should submit our reason to God's word. Her faith is meant to strengthen our faith. It's a faith that's demonstrated in willing obedience, and it resulted in joy. You see, one of the rewards for faithfulness is joy. That's John 15, verse 10. When we respond like Mary, then we receive the blessing of Mary. The one who trusts and obeys God's word finds joy. All right, so why do Elizabeth and John and Mary have joy? because joy is what God fills us with when we trust in Christ. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, Romans 15:13. Faith leads to joy and peace because of the hope that we have in Christ, the hope of heaven, the hope of salvation. 1 Peter chapter 1, we read this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, God has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who, by God's power, not ours, are being guarded or kept through faith for a salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice. Amen. We rejoice in our salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. We have hope of heaven through faith. That's our joy. That's why he goes on to say at the end of chapter or this section, he says, though you do not now see him, right, with our physical eyes, you believe in him and you rejoice with a joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. That's the kind of joy that we have, obtaining the salvation, the outcome of our faith, the salvation of our souls. Jesus preached the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's because Jesus had come. He's the king. His kingdom will have no end. We saw that last week. He told a parable to show the surpassing worth of the kingdom. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field which a man found and covered up. Then, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Matthew 13:44. The kingdom of heaven is so valuable that when a person sees it for what it really is, treasure, they're willing to forsake everything to be a part of it. The cost of discipleship is nothing compared to the treasure of the kingdom. And Jesus is so clear. He says, it's driven by joy. He says, in his joy, he sells everything that he has and buys the field. You see, the cost is paid with joy. It's joy that he feels as he pays the cost because he knows that what he gains is far more than what he paid. Man, how the devil makes us think that in following Jesus Christ, it's just duty and self-denial. It's just duty and there's no delight. He does this to steal our joy. Man, how he tricks us into thinking that there's more joy to be found in the world than in Jesus Christ. That there's more to gain in the world than in Jesus Christ. When all the while, Christ is right there available for us. This unshakable joy is there for us. And how foolish we are to believe him. Man, it's like a beggar, right? This poor beggar on the streets who's being offered a kingdom. Yet he complains because he's got to give up his cardboard box and his rags. Because he can only think about the loss and he can't see the gain. He's like, I'm not going over there. Wait, you're telling me I got to give up my box and my filthy rags? You're asking too much. He complains because all he sees is what he has to give up and he doesn't see what he gains. Oh, that God would open our eyes to see Christ and his reward rightly. John saw it even in the womb. Elizabeth saw it even though Jesus was still in the womb. Mary saw it and they all rejoiced in it. Yes, it's true. Jesus calls us to self-denial, but it's not self-denial as an end in itself. God promises us far greater reward. The announcement of Jesus Christ is good news of great joy. It's not bad news. It's good news. It's about salvation and eternal life. And I'm just afraid that we hear those terms so much as Christians that we have lost the extravagant meaning behind them. God in Christ calls us to himself. He calls us to Jesus Christ. He calls us to joy because in his presence there is fullness of joy and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16:11. Do you understand? It's full joy and forever joy. Not joy in things, but joy in God, joy in Christ, in his salvation, in heaven, in eternal life. That's what John and Elizabeth and Mary experience. And it has to be expressed in praise, however they can. John leaps, Elizabeth shouts, Mary's going to sing. You see, when we enjoy something, we can't help but express that joy in praise. Lewis was right. C.S. Lewis was right when he pointed out that all enjoyment spontaneously overflows into praise. Lovers praise their beloved. Readers praise their books. Sarah posted this on my Facebook this week because she knows how much I enjoy books. I don't know if you can see it. It's like a big truck with an Amazon box on it. And it says, cool, my book order came in. It's true. I love books. I enjoy reading. The point is that we always praise what we enjoy. Always. So glorifying God with praise overflows from a heart that enjoys God. This is why our joy, seeking our joy, can never be opposed to God's glory if we seek our joy in God. Because if we enjoy God, we will praise God and worship him. Through Christ, we find a joy that makes us willing to forsake everything. Our joy enables us to overcome sin by seeking a higher joy. Our joy enables us to endure suffering. Remember what Paul said? He said, we don't lose heart, for this slight and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison as we look to things not that are seen but that are unseen, because the things that we see are temporary, but the things that are unseen, that's eternal. He endured with joy by looking to heaven. Our joy enables us to endure ridicule and hatred from people. Do you remember what Jesus said? We read it this morning. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. Brothers and sisters, when God commands us to rejoice in the Lord always, and it is a command, when he commands us to rejoice in the Lord, he hasn't forgotten the kind of world that we live in. He's not asking us to pretend that suffering and persecution and sadness don't exist. No. What he does is he supplies us with a superior good, a superior hope, a superior reason for joy than the things of this world. A joy that Jesus says cannot be taken from you, John 16:22. God calls us to base our joy in this hope, the hope of great reward. He says, rejoice, for your reward is great in heaven. It's precisely this hope that enables us to face anything, even death. Do you remember what Paul said? He said, for me to die is gain. He has this perspective. That's why he can say that. Oh, that we would have the eyes to see the reward of God in Christ Jesus, the reward that awaits us in heaven. And that it would overflow in a life of praise, a life of joyful service to God, no matter what we face. I wish that we Christians would be as we should be, the very happiest people on the face of the earth. Not because we don't go through hard stuff, but because of our hope in Jesus Christ. So how do we find that kind of joy? That kind of joy. I want that kind of joy. So how do we find it? Well, let me give you a brief sketch, and it's nothing more than a sketch. If you want more joy in Christ, do these things. Number one, pray. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit, and therefore authentic joy is a gift from God. Pray, if you don't have joy in your salvation, pray like David did. Restore to me the joy of my salvation and renew a right spirit within me. Number two, know God and Jesus Christ. You got to see him for who he is with eyes of faith. If you want more joy, then strive to behold his glory. Remember, the God of hope fills us with all joy and peace in believing. So we've got to be in God's word. Number three, think about heaven and your reward often. Rejoice, for your reward is great in heaven, Matthew 5:12. Number four, give thanks to God. Count your blessings. Every single one of them comes from God, 1 Corinthians 4:7. Every one of them. Let the things that you have that bring you joy lift your gaze to heaven and thank God for those things, especially for salvation. With joy, giving thanks to the Father who's qualified you to share in the inheritance with the saints in light. He's transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom there is redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1, 12 through 14. Number five, spend time with people who are going to keep pointing you to the joy that you have in Christ and through Christ. We can help each other have joy in Jesus Christ. Notice the cascading effect of joy in this passage. John leaps for joy. His joy causes Elizabeth to understand this is her Lord, and so she shouts for joy. And in her joy, she blesses Mary, who is encouraged by that, and she finds joy and sings a song of praise. It's joy to joy to joy. Paul says something interesting. He says, "We work with you for your joy," 2 Corinthians 1:24. "I will remain and continue with you for your progress and joy in the faith," Philippians 1:25. So we can help each other find joy in Jesus Christ if we spend time with people who point us to Jesus and the reward that we have in him. So hang out with those kind of people. Number six, resolve to fight sin in your life. Sin hinders our joy in Jesus Christ. Holiness equals happiness. Just, I think some people think that God doesn't want us to be happy. He wants us to be holy. But the reality is he knows that happiness is found when we are holy. He wants your joy. He wants you to be happy. But understand that holiness equals happiness. So that's the sketch. If you're here and you've never trusted Christ, never put your faith in him, or maybe you've been in church your whole life and you're not buying it. There is joy beyond what you see in the world in Jesus Christ. Come to him by faith. Put your faith in him. Ask him to forgive you for your sins and put your faith and trust in him. If you're here this morning, you're weighted down. And then, how do I find joy? There's joy in Jesus Christ. No matter what you face. We've seen John leap for joy and Elizabeth shout for joy. And we're going to see Mary sing for joy next week. Her song starts off like this: "My soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." Man, let's pray for that kind of a heart. A heart that rejoices in Jesus Christ and the salvation that he has. Yes? Let's pray for joy and strive for joy and live from a place of joy in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. God, help us to find our joy in your Son, Jesus Christ, through your Spirit. God, we ask that you would forgive us. Forgive us for our lack of joy and for seeking our joy in the things of this life. Oh God, forgive us for the times that we've allowed ourselves to think of our faith as a loss instead of gain. Help us to remember that the cross that we bear is nothing compared to the crown that we'll receive. God, we ask and pray that you would restore to us the joy of your salvation and renew a right spirit within us. Help us to fix our eyes on the reward and rejoice in all circumstances. God, would you fill us with all joy and peace in believing? through Jesus Christ, our Lord. How we ask it and we pray it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.